Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended March 31st, 2022. The bank is represented by the Managing Director and CEO, Shri Raj Kiran Y.G., and Executive Directors, Shri Nitesh Ranjan, Shri Rajneesh Karnatak, Shri Nidhu Saxena, and other members of the top management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now I hand over the call to Mrs. Ranjitha Suresh, Assistant General Manager, Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I, Ranjitha Suresh, the Head of Investor Relations, welcome you all for the earnings conference call for the period ended March 31st, 2022. The structure of the con call shall include a brief opening statement by MD and CEO, and then the floor will be open for interaction. Before getting into the con call, I'll read out the usual disclaimer statement. I would like to submit that certain statements that may be discussed during the investor interaction may be forward-looking statements based on the current expectations. These statements involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that cause the actual results to differ from the statements. Investors are therefore requested to check the information independently before making any investment or other decision. With this, I now request our MD and CEO for his opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure and privilege to meet you all for Union Bank of India financial results for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2022. Economy is on recovery path with activity surpassing pre-pandemic level across sectors. While GDP growth estimates have come off considering geopolitical developments, India is seen as fastest growing major economy in the world. Inflation concerns, meanwhile, have meant rise in interest rates both globally as well as at home. In an era of external benchmark-linked loan rates, a hike in policy rates will immediately reflect in the bank lending rates for home loan, auto loan, and small business customers. Deposit rates will rise accordingly in due course. Coming to Union Bank's business and financials for quarter ended 31st March 2022, bank has continued to post strong financials as the total business have grown by 10.86% year-on-year. The total deposits have grown 11.75% year-on-year, led by low-cost CASA deposits, which have grown 12.40% year-on-year. The CASA ratio thus stood at 36.54%. Total advances registered a growth of 9.60% year-on-year. The RAM sector noted 9.36% year-on-year growth. Within RAM sector, the retail advances have grown 8.65%. Agricultural advances have grown  10.80%, and MSME advances have grown 8.56% year-on-year. The net income have grown by 12.55% year-on-year. The net interest income stood at 27,006 crores for the financial year 2022. The global NIM stood at 2.94% for the year 2022. The net profit stood at 5,232 crore during the financial year 2022, as against net profit of 2,906 crores for the previous year, that is 2021, thereby registering a growth of 80.05%. Of asset quality, the gross NPA ratio stood at 11.11% as of 31st March 2022, compared to 13.74% of the previous year. Net NPA stood at 3.68%, which was 94 basis points lower than last year. CRAR improved from 12.56% as of March 2021 to 14.52% as of March 2022. CET1 ratio improved to 10.63% as of March 2022 from 9.07% of previous year. PCR also improved by 234 basis points on year-on-year basis from 81.27 to 83.61% as of 31st March 2022. We strengthened the collection capabilities by opening regional collection centers, dedicated call centers, and feet-on-street model combined with a skilled pool of staff deployed to reduce the stress position of the bank on a continuous basis, thereby reducing the stress percentage substantially. Bank has recovered approximately 16,300 crores on gross basis during the financial year. To this end, bank has initiated a process of digitization of recovery modules by launching Project Union Saras, where it has created willful default classification portal, SARFAESI repository, DRT and NCLT portals, etc. The bank has raised total capital of 8,447 crores during the financial year 22, which is 1,447 crores of equity capital raised through QIP, 5,000 crores of 81 bonds, and 2,000 crores of tax. Friends, I wish to share that Union Bank has achieved all of amalgamation goals well ahead of timeline. We could ensure seamless integration of people, process, and products, thereby realizing cost and revenue synergies well in time. We have moved much ahead in our digital journey with bank launching Project Sambhav, wherein we initiate digital bank within bank as Union Next app. A couple of days ago, we have also launched Trade Next platform, an innovative self-service solution providing an array of trade finance services at customers' convenience. Union Bank of India has also become first public sector bank to go live on account aggregator ecosystem. These are just a glimpse into many initiatives underway as the bank transforms for the digital era. Speaking in early outcome, 4 million new U-Mobile customers were added during the year 21-22, taking total registered mobile banking users to 1.66 crores. More than a third of the total leads generated during the year were through the Union Dial platform. There was 157% increase in the volume of UPI transactions, making Union Bank third among the peer PSBs in terms of volume of transactions. As several of our digital initiatives mature, it will accumulate in even better and faster growth ahead. The bank is well poised for growth and profitability with all-round capacities and capabilities built during last few years. As the economy returns to growth path, Union Bank will be both a beneficiary as well as driving the growth of new opportunities. Let me iterate the guidance for the financial year 23. Deposit growth at around 10%, advances growth in the range of 10 to 12%, CASA ratio in the range of 37%, NIM to be around 3%, credit cost to be less than 1.5%, delinquency ratio to be less than 2%. With this guidance, I conclude my opening remarks. We are grateful to the analyst and investor fraternity for their continued support and feedback that helps us to take informed decision in our journey towards efficiency and profitability. We are now open for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Suraj Das from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I have a couple of questions. The first question is on the slippages side. So, you have reported a slippages of total 5,600 crore for the 4Q FY22, of which large corporate is 2,500 and MSME is 1,400. So, sir, my question is, the corporate slippages, does it include any lumpy accounts or is it, I mean, from where it is coming? And on the MSME slippages side, sir, you have recorded 1,400 crore in this quarter and almost 7,000 crore for the full year. So, what is the outlook for the next year on the MSME slippages side? Is it coming from, a restructured book or ECLGS book or, what is the source of these slippages? Yeah, that is my first question, sir.
Yeah. There is one lumpy account in the large corporate, that is one retail entity, you are aware. So that is a major chunk of these large corporate. Actually, our projections went a bit like haywire on the slippage because of this lumpy account slippage. So that's why the, like, you know, one big account, I think that is about 1,700.
1,720 crores.
1,720 crores. That is one account. Regarding your question on MSME. MSME actually, you know, particularly after the COVID and the restructuring, MSME was the sector which was maximum affected. Because if you see the other part, retail and even agriculture is consolidating. MSME, we saw the enhanced slippage, but then that is also consolidating. This is, I think now that also will start coming down because that confidence I get because of the SMA 0, 1, 2 position what we are seeing in MSME. That has consolidated very well. The numbers are quite decent on the stress side. So the further chances of slippage in MSME is coming down substantially. Hopefully, the maximum stress in MSME is already recognized. Regarding your question, whether it is coming from this restructured book, small percentage of the stress book also has slipped, but it is coming from everywhere. It is not that there is a predominance from the stressed book. Some percentage has come, but then it is coming from even the non-restructured book also.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Just a follow-up, sir. I mean, you have given SMA 2 for 5 crores and above, which is only, I mean, 0.09%. I mean, can you tell us, I mean, what is the all-inclusive SMA 2 position would be as of maybe March?
If you can share that number.
Yeah. So we have disclosed that the 5 crore and above SMA 2 is around 0.09%, which when we compare to the previous year, March 2021, is quite below the 1% level it was earlier. Overall SMA 2 number is 0.66, again, which compared to the previous year, much lower. And SMA 2 book also, last year, March 2021, it was around 6.4, and it has come down to around 2.4. So SMA 1 and SMA 2 both together, they are just around 3% of the book.
That is all.
All SMA.
It's not above 5 crores.
Entire.
It is entire SMA, like entire domain of the advances. SMA 1 and SMA 2 is below 3%.
Understood, sir. Understood. And sir, what would be the total restructured book? You have given details on slide number 37 about COVID restructuring, that is one and two. However, what will be the overlapping MSME or let's say earlier CDR or SDR or whatever it is? I mean, what is the total restructured book?
Actually, like in the COVID restructuring book, we have shown about 21,000 crores. This is actually initially restructured both on the restructuring one scheme and restructuring two scheme. The present outstanding in this book is around 18,000 crores. Rest is either closed or have become NPA. That is the balance in that book. On the MSME, actually there was earlier restructuring scheme where we had an outstanding of about 2,000 crores.
Yeah.
I think yes, about 2,000 or.
Yeah, earlier. Other than
the COVID restructuring, there's only 2,000 crores of MSME which is restructured earlier.
Okay, understood. And sir, my last question would be on the ECLGS side. So it looks like, I mean, for the past couple of quarters, the ECLGS disbursement is increasing. So sir, I mean, what is the guidance going ahead? I mean, will it continue to increase or what is your outlook here? And what would be the slippages or let's say NPA percentage in the ECLGS book?
See, the ECLGS book is almost saturated now because all the schemes are almost complete and coverage happened. For us, we have around 15,000 crores of sanction, around 14,000 crore was the total disbursement in that ECLGS book, and currently outstanding will be around 11,500 crores. And so far as the NPA is concerned, again, the NPA is quite lower, around 3% is the only NPA of the outstanding book. But if you look at the overall disbursed book, it is much below the 3%. So it's behaving quite well.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you. If I have a follow-up, I will come back to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nilesha from Arrow Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a fabulous set of numbers. Appreciate the fabulous presentation as well. I've just gone through it. I have just one small query on the number of branches that have been closed. I think 442 branches have been closed. Obviously, I think there must be an overlap with Corporation Bank and Andhra Bank merger. So we have got some 9,000 plus branches now. So any plans to reduce the number of branches and go more in the digitization way? In terms of what new bank is, where people don't have basically branches, and they reduce the number of branches. So I just want clarity on the number of branches that the bank is targeting to probably close or reduce.
Actually, we have closed more than 700 branches because there will be certain procedures before we take it out from the number of branches on surrendering certain things. That's why the number is showing 400 odd. Actually, we have closed more than 700. We have targeted about 750 branches post-amalgamation. These are the branches basically which were overlapping because on the same place we had 2-3 branches within 1 kilometer radius, that kind of thing. So that rationalization has happened. We have almost completed that process. And it will be a continuous process to identify branches which are like which can be closed and replaced by other units. Regarding your digital question, actually, we have started working on this last year, that of opening a all digital branches. Basically, these are very small 200-300 square feet branches typically in malls and other kind of things. And in major metros, we have started opening that. They will have support of a relationship manager there, but no manual activity. It is all machine driven. So we have started and our experience has been very good because I think in metros gradually, most of these manual branches, we may have few, will gradually get replaced by the digital branches which we are doing. Added to that, Honorable FM also made an announcement on digital banking units. About 75 of them are coming up on the next Independence Day. So that model was started by us earlier in the last year itself, and this actually is coming again from the government. So this will take it forward. Your point is right. Particularly in metros, we will see more of these digital kind of branches, and maybe that will really help in bringing the operating cost down as we go forward.
All right, sir. I mean, thank you so much, sir. Thank you. That's the only query. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, sir...
Sorry to interrupt you. Can I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Mishra.
Firstly, you mentioned that the big retail account was exposure was 1720 crore. How much is provided already?
Oh, actually, this is one account. Actually, for the group, our exposure is higher than that because all the accounts are not slipped actually because they may slip during this quarter. There actually, our provision for the group totally is 58.50%. We have made some aggressive provision in this group. Group as a whole, our exposure is
2,152, almost 2,200 plus, I think 2,700 investment
book. Including investment book, it is about 2,700 crores. And we have already made a provision of 58.50. Since there is some recovery in this account subsequent to March, today's date the cover will be about 60%. 61%. As of March, it is 58.50.
Okay. Now my second question is, you mentioned that we are targeting a growth of 10 to 12% and also, the way slippages are coming down and profits are going up and with capital adequacy of 14.5%, do we require to raise further capital this year or no requirement?
Actually, we will be going to the board, but then I think we don't need to raise any equity capital. Even the AT1 actually, all the calls are taken and we have raised sufficient AT1 during the year. So the capital requirement for the next year, according to me, will not be that much actually, maybe some bond raising, but equity, I don't think we may need to raise in the present circumstance because even that CET1 not 10.6, we still have plans to reduce some more DTA. Even now my DTA is around 12,000. There is a scope to reduce about 3,000-4,000 crores of DTA during the next year. That will further add to our CET1. So I think we have enough cushions and I don't think we need to raise equity.
Okay. And last question from my side. Can you give some guidance regarding the treasury income? How do you see it next year? And let's say till what yield we don't require to, you know, any losses over there?
Treasury income will come down. There is no doubt about it. We can say it roughly, it can be half of what was there this year, roughly, I'm telling. But it will be adequately compensated by the interest income which will go up, actually. That is our assessment, actually. Because our standard advances and average advances in the last quarter has gone up substantially. So even the first quarter itself, it will be visible, the interest income and all that. That should compensate. And enhanced write back from the provisions and all that should help. Because recoveries are like very much visible. Lot of traction in the NCLT and DRT cases now we are seeing. So that also will add to the other income part. In addition to that, a lot of technology initiatives, particularly on the trade finance side, we are looking at doubling of our income there. So overall income level, we are hoping that we'll be able to sustain. But treasury, it will come down. And mark to market, I think we have a duration of average around 1.2 on the AFS book. I think maybe we are safe for up to 7.5.
From 75
another 75 bips by treasury team says they are covered.
Okay. Fine, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening. I have a question. Sir, first is on your loan to deposit ratio. So, as of now, I think this is around.
Just sorry to interrupt you, but your voice is breaking.
Yeah, so on your CD ratio, credit to deposit ratio, on domestic side, right, if I were to exclude overseas advances, then this is around 67-68%. And also in our guidance, you are saying that 10% deposit and 10-12% advances. I wanted to check, sir, what stops you from increasing CD ratio from 68% to maybe 75-76%, and because we are a sovereign bank, at least you know we can manage slightly higher CD ratio. So, wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah. See, on the credit side, any available opportunity we don't let go. Actually, whenever there is an opportunity to take a exposure which fits into our risk perceptions and fits into our norms, we don't let go any opportunity. You would have seen on the corporate side also, Union Bank has been very aggressive and we have taken very good exposures. So we will not let go any opportunity. So one way of increasing the CD ratio is reducing the deposits. So which we can very well do because actually like that is a way. But then we feel that we don't raise much bulk deposit. These are all most of the retail deposits which are flowing. So we can't let go this customer because in the long term there may be a damage. So we continue to raise the deposit at a very reasonable rate from our regular customer. That's why we get a normal growth of deposit of around 10%. So that actually skews our CD ratio because for a 10% deposit growth, ideally I should have a 15 to 17% credit growth to improve my CD ratio. But then the credit side demand is not that high, but the deposit growth is stable. So that's why this ratio, but we would also love to do 75 to 78% CDA ratio. But right now the situation somehow not permitting me to do that. That is the ideal ratio, but then it may take some more time to reach there.
Thank you. So the line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ashcon Global Services. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
And even at the cost of repetition, I would say compliments to you for coming out with a very good set of numbers even during these circumstances. I mean, if you look at the operating profit, the net profit, your NPA, gross NPA, net NPA, I think everywhere the bank has performed well and has come near to the targets which are given or almost achieved. Having said that, sir, I've got a few observations and some questions. Sir, we were talking about this one account of, you know, that retail account where you said that the total exposure is around 2,700 crore and 58 or 61% is already provided for. But what we read is that this account has been taken to the, you know, has been declared by some lenders as a fraud account. I think something is in the courts also.
I don't think so, Ajmeraji. You may be getting it wrong. This is, that is on the NBFC space you are talking.
Okay. So the remaining amount, 1,050 crore, which is still to be provided for, do you feel any need of that out of the provision in the coming quarter itself? Or it will not be required?
See, we are ahead in provisioning. Whenever the need arises, we will have enough cushion to do that. Why we have taken a bulk provision upfront is we had a cushion in this quarter. So we always take this proactive step to make a big provision in the beginning itself so that in the coming quarters, like, we will not be under pressure. So like we have taken it upfront, so maybe in the next 2-3 quarters, like the other NBFC account, we have already reached a provisioning level of 86%.
86%?
Yes. Yeah. So we have covered 86%. So like that, no, there also we initially took about 50-55% provision in the first quarter, then gradually increased. Now we have reached a level of 86. Here also, because these resolutions take time, to safeguard our balance sheet from any shock, we take these provisions upfront, and particularly since we had a very good quarter with good profit, we took a step to make a higher provisioning in this account.
Yes, sir. My second one is, sir, on the credit growth. If you look at only the quarter on quarter, we have grown our NBFC book, you know, from 70,280 crore to 19,150 crore. Of course, including the housing finance, which is around 7,000 crore growth. So the remaining growth of about 11,000 crore has come from the NBFC space. So I believe they are all AA or AAA rated, though the breakup has been given. But in this quarter, is it the government backed this thing or a AA, AAA NBFCs?
I think we have a presentation on that, Mr. Ajmera. One slide is there. You can see the quality of NBFC book. I think it is 98 to 99% on very, very high-grade NBFCs. So the quality is all high, and it constitutes major chunk of government, PSU, and top corporate-backed NBFCs. I can assure you that.
If you
thank you very much. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
At least let me have some few more questions.
Sir, do apologize. Can I request you to join back the queue once again?
But you are not doing the proper, this thing. You are giving so much of time to the others, and when my turn comes, you are reducing the time.
Yeah, Ajmeraji, one more question. Yeah, we'll take one more question from Ajmeraji.
Sir, my question is on the next one is that on the recovery front, sir, we are coming quarter to quarter down on the recovery from the written-off account, which is coming down every quarter. And my second question on the recovery only, that our annual recovery target of 16,000 crore, whether it has been met. And secondly, some color on the NCLT, you know, some of the accounts, last time it was reported by Chandraji, that out of 2,500 crore of the NCLT already approved, 900 crore was to be recovered in this quarter. So what is the status on the NCLT?
Yeah, I think recovery we have done very well. I will ask Ashok Chandra to answer your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ajmera sir. First of all, the TWO recovery I will touch because you mentioned about that. Last yes. year, entire TWO recovery was 2,485 crore. And this year it is 2,734 crore. So overall, if you see the entire financial year, TWO recovery has gone up. And year-to-year basis also, previous years also, if you see, every year it has gone up now. So that is the first thing I think I need to clarify that.
I was referring only the quarter. Anyway, sir. Yes, of course. I take it.
Quarter, what happens? See, sometimes quarter was around 300 crore in this particular quarter. But quarter, it varies. Recovery, you know. It doesn't happen in one particular quarter, whatever you estimate. Now, second point was that CLT approvals are there and where the COC approvals have been there. See, as of now also, we have 102 accounts where the COC approvals are there and where the NCLT approvals are already there. And that, both the segments put together, there are 60 accounts where the COC has approved and it is lying in the NCLT for their approval. And that amount is 5,600 crore. And there are 42 accounts which have been approved by NCLT and we are waiting for the resolution to happen. That amount is around 6,300 crore. So both put together, we have around 12,000 crore which is likely to realize in this entire financial year, because the entire financial year is there for us to realize that amount. And since this is all in the advanced stage, we expect that yes, these things should happen in this financial year.
And your point that 16,500 crores of recovery we have done,
yes,
but that is on gross basis, because in addition to the cash recovery what is shown there plus upgradation, there is a recovery from return of accounts and recovery on the interest on NPA. All put together, we have crossed 16,500 crores of recovery for the year.
Oh, thanks for giving that information, sir. And definitely congratulations to you on the whole entire year. If you take it, you have performed very well. All the best to you, sir. And
thank you.
I think you probably, it may be we are meeting at the analyst meet, maybe in the last time.
Yes.
But I wish you all the very best for your future endeavor, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
It got disconnected last time. So, if you can also share how much was the MTM loss for the quarter and where is this being accounted for? Because I could not see that in the deck.
No, come again, how much?
MTM loss.
MTM loss.
That is shown as a part of the other income itself. Because as per the new accounting norms,
there was no MTM loss.
There is, as per the accounting norms, it has to be shown in the other income only. But this quarter, there is no MTM loss.
Oh, there is no MTM loss. And so let's say now you would have pegged till 6.85, right? Oh, sorry, 6.85, right? Which was a March closing, roughly.
Yeah, yeah, that are March numbers. But then actually I think we answered it earlier also that even now actually
we are MTM positive as of now.
We are MTM positive as of now.
Our duration is 1.20.
Oh, okay. Understood, sir. And sir, on your restructuring book, how much of that would have come out of moratorium as of now, roughly, just to understand?
I think we may not have that number. We'll share with you. So I think we may not have that number. We may have to check. Because actually the ECLGS 1, most of the accounts will be, because that was 12 month moratorium. So they will be all of the moratorium. ECLGS 2, like we had accounts with the 24 months moratorium, they will maybe under this thing. But major chunk will be out of moratorium. But then it is only estimate. I'll come back to you with the actual numbers. But I'm very sure the first lot was 12 month moratorium and that period is over.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And sir, if you have the loan mix, to break up of the loan book by MCLR, repo rate, and by
Sir, sorry to interrupt you, but once again your voice is breaking terribly.
Yeah, we got his question. I think 52% of our book is in MCLR and 22% of our book is in EBLR and 10% under treasury bill link. That makes 74%, 84%, 85%.
Right. And rest would be base rated and
rest would be BPLR and base rated.
Right. Okay. Last two questions, sir. One is, have we finalized how much is the family pension for us? Because
yes, 1,902 crores, and we have decided to spread it over 5 years. So 380 crores is booked this year. Remaining is amortized.
1520.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And last question, sir, from my side, I think Nitesh Ranjan Singh mentioned some 3% is from CSGS. While this is a small amount, But have you started invoking guarantee? I mean, how difficult or easy could that be? If you have you done or do you intend to do or what is the thought process?
Invoking personal guarantees of the defaulters?
No, sir. Invoking ECLGS guarantee from government.
Oh, sorry. You are talking of ECLGS. Your voice is breaking actually. Okay. Now actually ECLGS, I think guarantee invocation stage is yet to come. I think we are not ready to reach that level. But then I can assure you that sufficient funding has happened in that fund. So as long as, like I think earlier experience also on the CGTMSE and other things, so we will not have any problem invoking the guarantee and claiming the money. We will not have any problem. Because I was in the board of that fund also, so they are sufficiently funded and sufficient cushion.
Also very insignificant.
Yeah. So I don't think you foresee any problem in getting the money from the guarantee fund.
Great, sir. All the best, sir. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Akhil from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir,
you are.
So, just regarding the tax rate the company pays currently, you know, for the past few quarters has been quite high and this quarter has come down quite a bit. So, I just want to know what is the normal tax rate that the company is going to pay, you know, going forward?
We are paying zero taxes. Actually, what number you see there is a reversal of DTA. Actually, since we have a carry forward loss, so we actually our tax liability is not there. So we are using this opportunity. I think this year we were sitting on a big chunk of DTA, which also gets reduced from our CET1. So that DTA we are gradually reverting. Now actually the final position at the end of the year is about 12,000 crores of DTA. Why we are doing it is to move to the new tax regime, I have to take a one-time hit. So we want to reverse this DTA. And like maybe by the end of the next year, if we are able to reverse another 4,000 to 5,000 crores, then we will take a call of moving to the new tax regime. So this is a DTA reversal. It is not the tax payment.
Okay, fine. No problem. Okay, that's it for mine. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Maru Bajania from Edelweiss Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Hello, ma'am.
Maru, sorry to interrupt you, but you're sounding distant from the phone. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Can you hear me now?
Slightly better, ma'am.
So I just wanted to check one thing. That for a lot of other PSU banks, there has been big slippage in small loans. MSME below 50 million loans. So what is really happening there?
See, it is again a question of monitoring actually. That's why we decided to share our SMA 1 and SMA 2 number for the whole book, which is below 3%. We have a very, very efficient monitoring system and a collection mechanism. That's why our probability of getting there is very low. My SMA 1, SMA 2 book is below 3% for the whole advances book. So I don't foresee that problem for our bank.
What is that? And when will the ECL, when can you start invoking ECLGS guarantees, after what time frame, within how much time of a slippage?
It is within 90 days of default. Yeah, that is within 90 days of the default we have to invoke.
Got it. And so given that your SLR duration is now so low, below 1 year, what will be the loss on the book currently?
We didn't have any loss in the previous quarter. Mark-to-mark losses was not there in the last quarter. And we are sufficiently cushioned for some more increase in rates also.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhijit from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Two data questions. What was the interest reversal for the quarter?
Do you have the number? Interest reversal?
I don't think there is any interest reversal. Not living.
Would be there for the NPA, but we don't have the data.
We'll share the number right now. Not major chunk, but then just because when the NPAs happen, some reversals will be there. But then we are not carved out the number. We'll give you.
Sure. And sir, just to double check, SMA 1 and 2 on the entire book, you said close to 3%. The last quarter's number was little lower than 2%. Is that number correct?
No, no, no. Last quarter we have not disclosed SMA 1. We have disclosed only SMA 2.
SMA 2.
Oh, okay.
That was also above 5 crores. Yeah. That is above 5 crore and all that. So now that has come down.
Okay, so that 1.9 from last quarter has gone to what number today?
0.6.
Understood. So next one was that on the corporate book, the growth that we've seen on a sequential basis, if you can talk about the yields that this is coming in at, because we are just trying to figure out the NIM contraction that has happened, how do we sort of interpret that number?
Actually, the 10% of the book which is linked to the T-bill, that is where we saw the margin shrinkage. Basically, this is where the PSUs and some of the government agencies started borrowing at a T-bill linked rate, and many banks competed there. That is where the margin shrink. And now that is gradually going away. But last two quarters we saw that. So, quantify the effect, it will be difficult. Mm-hmm. But I think gradually it will go away, because already we are seeing tightening of interest rates in that space also. On the EBLR front and MCLR front, we didn't see the margin shrinkage. Actually, this quarter that will work to our advantage, because already we have increased the prices and the deposit cost will not go down go up that fast. So we'll have advantage. So that 10% of the book is where the shrinkage happened.
And you're not tweaking the credit spreads, right, on the benchmark? Is it getting entirely passed through? Whatever changes
on the EBLR, actually I can't change the other parameters. Only the benchmark 40 basis point, it will go up straight away. On the MCLR side, this time we have only factored the CRR impact, because that is a negative carry. And the MCLR will go up when the deposit rates will go up. Other cost we can't change overnight, because there is a schedule for that and RBI checks that. So operating cost and all that we can't change that frequently. But then MCLR will, now it has factored a CRR impact. Maybe gradually the deposit increase it will factor in. EBLR is linked to the reverse repo. Now 40 basis point it has already jumped.
Got it. Sir, just on this one, the reset period on EBLR is 3 months, right? So is it fair to assume that the 25 basis or 40 basis repo hike will flow forward with a little bit of a lag, right? That won't
reflect. So there is no 3 months there. There is no 3 months there. It is immediate.
Okay.
Maybe some bank may have the policy, but in our case, it is immediate.
Okay. Okay. Understood, sir. That's all. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arjun Vagga from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, this one question regarding this retail account exposure. So I understand that we have around 2700 crores of exposure to the whole group with provision of 58.5%. But just wanted to check, there was another 1720 crore number being discussed. Like what is that?
No, that was within that only, 1720 number.
That is a slippage in the previous quarter, because there are multiple accounts in that. So 1720 was the account which slipped last quarter. Remaining accounts are still standard
within the group.
So I understand that around 500 crores is still standard, like, because since I think 500 is the investment book. So 500 is standard, 500 is the investment book, and 1700 has slipped. Is that understanding correct, sir?
I'll just explain you. In fact, other books have also, those accounts have also slipped in this month, April month, except one account where exposure is 255 crore. So 2700, which is the figure we have given, in that you can reduce 255 crore. Rest all it has
255.
As on today, except 255, everything has slipped now.
Sure, sir. This is very helpful. 500
crore has
Yeah. March number is red 1720. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. And I'll hand the conference over to Shri Rajkiran Rai Ji for closing comments.
Thank you. Like always, your participation always helped us to look inwards and analyze better. So I thank you for everyone for helping the bank and also participating. So we have really turned around and we are able to show very consistent performance. We have always stuck to our projections and I am very sure going forward also the projections what we do will continue to deliver the results as per the projection. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Union Bank of India, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.